Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America continues. Oh, you know, I see these different articles that are shared online. It's fun to read the LA Times. And this is the headline of the LA Times. It was, "Why this Nobel laureate predicts a quicker coronavirus recovery." Said, quote, "We're going to be fine." I like that. I want more articles that say we're going to be fine. I want more people agreeing we're going to be fine, because I think we will be fine. I think that it's going to be a difficult thing. It's almost like, you have, it's like trying to herd cats. How do you herd a cat, right? It's impossible to herd a cat. That's trying to contain the coronavirus. That's trying to contain any given year when you have a bad flu season. That's going back to the previous one where we had the H1N1. Now we have vaccines for it. Now we prevent it. But, you know, when we get these different rogue strains that come through, I feel like we're going to be okay. And we'll see. I mean, it doesn't mean that you don't take personal responsibility, and I understand why the city has to do what they do, but still, will it be effective? We'll see. I guess we'll see. But I wanted to read this about truck drivers, because there could be a lot of truck drivers that are out right now. If you're on the road and you're delivering a haul across Missouri or Illinois or anything like that, I'd like to hear from you. It's 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So the Free Press put out this article, and it's a good one. It says, "Truckers brave coronavirus outbreak to deliver goods." Quote, "If we stop, the world stops." Ain't that true? This is something that needs to be recognized very quickly, because, you know, everyone says, oh, this is going to be an industry that's disrupted based on automation, things like that. Well, right now it's not. And right now, they are the hope that your store gets stocked next time you go in there to get toilet paper or to get frozen food or whatever it is. So the article follows Lee Robertson of Kansas City, 56 years old, hauling a load destined for small shops and convenience stores across the country. It said, across the U.S., the nation's 3.5 million professional truckers are working flat out to keep stores and businesses stocked as consumers worry about riding out home quarantines prompted by the coronavirus outbreak. It's a big deal. He said in that one, he's hauling toilet paper, rice, beans, tuna, and other staples. Many truckers said they aren't concerned about getting sick, although their job, which requires lots of touching the shipments, you know, interacting with other people, going out in public, staying on the road, and think about the places you get off. You're also interacting with people who are travelers. So that adds another risk to it. And while they're urging many people to stay home, they're saying this increased risk of coronavirus, it's not stopping the truckers. They're still out there and they're still working hard and they're doing their thing to deliver those goods. So you can get a little bit of relief when you go to the grocery store and you can pick up that thing you would want to pick up as opposed to seeing an empty shelf. Restrictions on which businesses can remain open has also made their jobs more difficult, forcing some truck drivers to cook for themselves as restaurants are closing down. And you can't just drive a semi through a fast food restaurant. And what happens when they can't go in and order something? That's difficult, too. A lot of times, they don't take walk-ups. I hope some of these fast food restaurants do recognize that there are going to be truckers and there are going to be people that need this, so they are going to walk up to the window. I hope they recognize that and they don't take a hard pass or a hard no to it. They mention in other cases they've been left without a place to wash their hands or to park or sleep at night. Dozens of rest stops were closed, for example, in Pennsylvania, Texas, Nebraska, and Michigan this week because of the efforts to slow down the coronavirus rest stops. So where else are they going to go? People are wondering right now. He said, they told me that I'm essential personnel, so don't even think about getting sick. Does that happen all the time, right? Don't even think about getting sick right now in a very difficult season. You know, one person getting sick in your place of work could disrupt things, make things difficult. I know you can still work, but you think, oh, it's so difficult with so-and-so not there. Now imagine everyone going down at once. You can see how devastating this is. It's impossible to do business for some people if you're to have an outbreak across the entire building. Truckers were tasked with moving a staggering amount of goods, ensuring Americans have their fill of grocery items, toiletries, online purchases. Industries have more than 10 billion of tons of freight annually. Rail transports 13% of the nation's freight tonnage. Two-thirds, so 66%, come from truckers. Drivers say they're working hard to meet consumer needs. As of Sunday, we continue. Now we're in Monday, but you know, we watched the live tracker of what's going on with this COVID-19 tracker. And in the United States, they tracked about 32,255 cases. Globally, 337,000. About 90 so in Missouri. The county is up to about 50, so that number is going to jump in Missouri. But we could see in the city, right now it's 7, that number is going to jump to when they up these numbers. You know, the local media, we get these local reports, but sometimes the national trackers don't get the most of it until a little bit later. If you're a trucker and you're driving nonstop, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. You deserve some thanks. You might not be a trucker, you might just be sitting back, relaxing, isolating, and lonely. But if you want someone to talk to, we'll be here tonight for another 45 minutes, 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. I got one lousy story and one really funny story. Well, how about this? No, two lousy stories and one very funny story. How about we'll do two bads and a good next on Overnight America, KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
All right, thanks again for coming on. Let's see. Text message from Mike that said, it's time to show American unity and fly an American flag, just like we did after 9/11. Yeah, we'll come through this. I mean, this will be, we are trying to beat this thing together, and there's ways we can do it. It's not always easy, but hey, we got some pretty good people trying to figure this thing out right now. Yeah, I got two stories that are... makes you slap your head and say, what are you doing? And I got two good stories. So how about we do the two bad stories first, and then we'll do the two good stories. How about the first one? Imagine this. You're worried about your job. You're worried about your future. And you find out, I'm working in Atlanta. I work in the airport at one of the restaurants inside of there, one of the biggest hubs of the world when it comes to air travel. And they even talked about just opening up the concourse for people to go in and treat it almost like a shopping mall, you know. So there's a Chili's inside of the mall, or excuse me, the Chili's inside of the airport in Atlanta. And the workers get a call and they're saying, okay, we need to disinfect and clean the restaurant. So come on in. You know, we got to put in a day's work. We got to, you know, prepare all of this and get it. You know, they're going to close the airport. They're going to do this. They're not going to be much traffic here. So we got to do our thing. So they go in there, they start cleaning. And after they had already cleaned, then the boss comes in and said, oh, by the way, you're all fired. Whew, what a lousy thing to do. So Chili's as a national brand, someone that is known, you know, that restaurant, they had to come out and say, this is not our doing. This is whoever locally owns that. And that was not a good thing, right? They had to go about and say, we disagree with the... So basically the restaurant operated is by a franchisee, not Chili's Bar and Grill International, which owns the franchise brand. So people that have been getting mad at Chili's, they had to come out and say, ah, this wasn't our choice. And the worst thing about all of this is some of the like servers that came in. Keep in mind, the servers work at a different rate than everyone else. So even though they were doing the same thing, cleaning in this instance, they go in, they're not getting tips because they're just cleaning behind the scenes. They thought they were just doing something good because, you know, they like their job. And next thing you know, they get fired and they're like, you got to be kidding me. You know, you got me doing this at a low server rate as opposed to some of these other people that you brought in. Pretty lousy, right? It kind of reminds me of those movies, those mafia movies or those gang movies where they send you out into the middle of nowhere. They make you dig your own grave and then they, boom, you're inside of it. Next thing you know, that's what it reminds me of. It's actually really sad. And hopefully they learn their lesson there that they will get what's coming to them. How about this, too? This is WSPA in Greenville having an issue with an employee at a workplace.
Gordon, that suspect, Jeffrey Long, just received a bond of $10,200 between these two charges. The judge said he's facing up to 3 years and 30 days in prison.
Wow, it's got to be pretty serious. So what did he do during this time of the coronavirus? He's $10,000 bond facing 3 years in prison. What did he do?
On Friday, Jeffrey Long told his employer, Cytel, he had tested positive for COVID-19. The call center evacuated its employees, deep cleaned the building, and ordered those who were in contact with Long to self-quarantine for 2 weeks.
The biggest fear we had was, how is this going to affect our company and the people around us?
Inman Elementary School, where Long has a child enrolled, also received a copy of the same doctor's note from Long, saying he had visited the VA and tested positive for COVID-19 that very day. But police say he didn't, and that wasn't a doctor's note.
What a lousy, lousy, lousy thing to do. Are you kidding me? So he fakes getting the coronavirus so he can get some time. And it ends up scaring everyone working around him, thinking, oh, boy, they all got to get tested. And that's not comfortable. Have you seen video of what it takes to get tested? I saw a video of it. So basically, they take this long, it looks like a pipe cleaner or something you would use to get the hair out of your sink drain. And they stick this thing up your nose and it goes all the way back to like, it goes all the way up and back. And it goes back really far. And then they pull this thing out, and then, it can't feel good. And all these people go through the testing, and now they're worrying that, oh, maybe I made things worse. And they're thinking, oh, I got an at-risk parent or whatever. And now they're freaking out. And now they're thinking, man, what's going to happen? Because they're closing the plant down, all because this guy lied.
Seems to me like the fellow just wanted a 2-week paid vacation. But we're going to give him a little time over in the Hotel California. You can't do this to people.
Long is facing charges of breach of peace and forgery.
This gentleman had a doctor's excuse that wasn't written on letterhead or anything like that. Basically, you can make it up from your house.
Wednesday, people went back to work at Cytel. The time lost has cost the company money and has cost employees like Cable paid time off.
I am a veteran, and quite honestly, that makes me very angry because he should know better.
Wait, so they closed the plant down and they forced the employees to take paid time off even though it wasn't their doing? That's tough. See, these are the type of things that companies are going to be confronted with. It's not their fault that the commerce in the United States is shutting down, let alone that people are getting sick for this sort of thing and they got to get treated, and it's the best thing and the only thing you can do. Okay, two lousy stories. You want two good stories, two fun ones? Which one do we want to do first? Oh, yeah, this is good. All right, this is the New York Post. Coronavirus, this is how they start out the story, isn't the only thing that grows exponentially. So does the price of hand sanitizer at this supermarket in Denmark. I love it. So they say one bottle of hand sanitizer, $4.09. That's reasonable, right? Yeah. But if you want to buy a second bottle, it jumps to $95. That's right. Why do they do that? So people don't hoard hand sanitizer. You can buy one, but if you really, really, really want a second one, the price is going to jump up. So that makes it so no way that these hoarders will be able to ever recoup the losses on something like that. So why even bother doing it? So then they leave it for people so they have their own at the house. That's the way it should go. Here's what they said. We ask all customers to respect the distance between each other and the coworkers. Sprinkle, that's lightly sanitizer wash, hands off at the entrance and use gloves. If you are a family, please allow only one person to purchase if possible. There may be times when we limit how many customers we accept in the store at once. Take care and thank you for your understanding. That's good. Big, big thumbs up for something like that. And that's a great way to stop this. I always wondered, too, if you're working at a store, how in the world can you allow someone to walk out with an entire grocery cart full of meat knowing that there's a lot of other people that would need that, too, right? Why wouldn't they come up with a policy of two packs of toilet paper at most, right? Why can't they come up with a policy of you can't take all of our hand sanitizer? It's insane to think that people would do this, sure. Where's the safeguard? I mean, there had to have been someone that said something at some point, like, are we allowed to do that? Can we sell all of it? One other quick one. This is in Georgetown, Texas. This is during the coronavirus meeting. So they have the city council up or whatever it is, and they're all sitting just like every other city council meeting you've ever seen. So they have, you know, seating for people to observe, a podium for people to talk, and then they have kind of like not even a semicircle, but they have, you know, just a little small arch of council people sitting there. Well, as they're sitting there, what looks like the president, because he's sitting in the middle, maybe it's just coincidence he's sitting in the middle, gets up and excuses himself to go to the bathroom. But he doesn't know his microphone's still on. What was that? Was it the Leslie Nielsen movie, The Naked Gun, where the exact same thing happens? He keeps the microphone on after giving that press conference and goes to the bathroom, and it's the most long, drawn-out bathroom break you've ever heard. I would say this one gives a run for its money. So this is in Georgetown, Texas.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll try and keep this brief. I won't belabor all the details. I'm sure most of you remember Mr. Guest's presentation from last time, and I imagine he's going to hit some of the highlights here in a minute. But the thing is that these deadly infections, there's something we can do about it. And what we can do is call on governmental representatives that are higher up the chain of command.
All right, so they're laughing now, and they're trying to keep a straight face. Oh, no. Oh, no.
And ask for action at the federal level.
All right, so then it goes on even further. So it goes on and on. This is 40 seconds in. It goes for a minute and a half until the guy goes back into the city council chamber and walks back in and sits down. And all the people are trying to conduct business like nothing happened. And they're laughing. They're like, I can't believe that just happened. Until someone leans over to the guy and says, and has to say something to him and says, I don't know if you knew this, but you left your microphone on. We heard everything. Now, this guy, I don't know how long he was holding that in, but it couldn't have been healthy. It couldn't have been healthy because it just kept going and going and going. And I thought, wow, this is what my wife has to hear all the time when I'm back at the house. I start to sympathize with her even more. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Thanks, someone called in a tip. Kent called in a lotion tip. Isn't that nice? I'm going to continue to use my wife's lotion. I think I just have to use it more frequently. The problem is, you know what's weird, too? My hands feel tighter. Like, they feel chappier, they feel rawer, and they feel tighter, too, and I don't like it. So maybe I'm going to have to find a little bit more to take care of my hands. And who knows this week? Anything? I might be working from home. It sounds like there may be an opportunity, just like Drex, who's been working from his home office, and so many other people around St. Louis also finding ways to work from home right now. It's amazing the things that technology can do, isn't it? This is Overnight America, KMOX. Spoiler alert. What if I didn't know what happened in 2011? Welcome back to Overnight America. It'll be fun to replay that, won't it? We're live for another 25 minutes or so. So if you want to give us a call, you can at 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So we're still tracking and seeing what's going to happen next. With the coronavirus, Doesn't have to be all coronavirus. I mean, part of it has to do with the funding that goes into it. And I got to say, not too happy with the way this phase three of the coronavirus stimulus bill has been. And I got, you know, there's a couple of times where you see the debate in it. You see that the people holding it up, this time the Democrats are holding it up and they're saying, well, we want to make sure that, you know, if we're going to spend $2 or $3 trillion, that we're going to get this right. No, I totally understand that sort of thing. But let me put it this way. When some of the reasons that you're citing is that this stimulus bill doesn't erase student loan debt. Are you, so what are you back on the campaign trail trying to eliminate student loan debt? And part of it too is you don't like that Planned Parenthood doesn't get special funding? What? So going back to the last weekend when we started talking about phase one of all of this, Nancy Pelosi tried to sneak in some Planned Parenthood funding and didn't end up flying, and she was pretty much panned for it. Now we're finding that this is part of it again, that we're going back to that well. Like, this is the thing that you're going to be fighting for when Americans are in need? Come on now. Not too happy with that. Senator Menendez out of New Jersey. Yeah, he was the one that brought up loan forgiveness. So they're bringing up all of these different things that you're hearing the candidates talk about that are running on the Democratic platform. That's not what we're talking about here. And you can find a couple of different articles where they talk about this sort of thing. They thought it was a deal. I mean, they've been negotiating this. They thought they had a deal. And then, as Mitch McConnell pointed out, it was Nancy Pelosi comes in, and next thing you know, they want to shut it down again. The politics get into this funding. No doubt in my mind, that's where the politics crept in. Let's go to Nick, who's calling in from Illinois. Welcome to Overnight America, Nick.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just was going to call in. I have a family of four, and we're a young family, and I had to go to the store this morning, and it was just, the stores are ridiculous. I give all appreciation to the stock workers who are trying to keep up with this and trying to maintain what's going on. But if people keep doing this day after day after day, we're going to start running into bigger issues with supply. And that's going to become even more of an issue.
Yeah. In Illinois, so you have your own orders over there. Did you find that there was no one on the street when you drove, or were there a lot of traffic?
It was about 3 o'clock that I went, and it was not, there wasn't a lot of people out. I will say that. I went to a couple big stores and one small store, and the masses weren't there, but the stores were still empty. They were just, and you can't fault the stores. They're getting overran at this point. We gotta, as a community, we gotta just realize that, hey, this is going on. We gotta take a breath. Let's breathe. Let's get back together. And my wife and myself, we would go about every week. We'd go shopping and get stuff, you know, before this happened. Now it's to the point where you go just to get meat or things you need, and nothing's there. It's really bad.
Well, how many things did you have on your list this time that you weren't able to pick up?
Probably 10, 11.
Okay. What things were
somewhere
missing?
Right there. Cereal, bread. Bread's a big one. Bread, eggs, milk. What else did she want me not to get? What else did I not get? I can't remember everything.
Yeah, I found
those were the big items.
Like, through my experience, bread has been a little bit difficult. You know, I saw one person post up. They said, you should just drive through Jimmy John's or some of these other restaurants or whatever that you can buy bread from. There might be, or like the Panera's or whatever. There might be another option. I don't think I ever had an issue with milk. Some of the things, eggs have been a difficult thing. Butter sometimes can be difficult, depending. So there's a few things that people grab a lot of. And they don't really need to buy a month's worth of supply of this stuff. You know, I think they're just used to the convenience of going and getting what they need and leaving. And then they don't have to worry about it till next time they go. So they think, well, if it's going to be scarce, I'm going to buy 2 or 3 times the amount that I would normally get. And next thing you know, there's not enough to go around. So hopefully things start to level out so the people that have enough right now don't feel the need to impulsively go out and buy everything.
Yes. And with everybody buying that much, how much of it's going to be thrown away and wasted?
Oh, I hope not.
Because it's going to expire or go bad before they even use it.
Well, I hope that's not the case. I really, that would be terrible. Hopefully people are at least using what they're buying. You find toilet paper? Were you looking for that too?
Wasn't even looking for it.
All right, good. You're all set for that.
Wasn't even looking for it.
So many people are having issues trying to find that too.
I I'm not endorsing anybody or nothing like that, but I have to say I was very impressed with Dierbergs. Dierbergs had, their shelves were nice and packed, but they still, even they were missing some stuff.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, everyone is having different experiences. Some people are saying it's okay. Some people are saying it's crazy. So, yeah, that's the thing. It's, you never know what you're going to find when you go in there. It's just uncertainty.
Yeah, I definitely think as a society, I know this is first time that we've felt this or done with this. We just need to step back and take a breath for a minute and calm down.
Yep, you're absolutely right. All right, thanks, Nick. Good to hear from you.
Thanks. Bye.
Got to take a breath. Take a breath. Calm down. Going back to the funding, the stimulus bill, phase three of it, you know, they're out there spending lots of cash, so trillions of dollars. And they have said, we can't continue to negotiate tonight. We'll have to meet again tomorrow. So it starts back up. They said around noon Eastern, so 11 o'clock Central. And when they get back at it, hopefully they can figure out a way to get this thing passed and cut out this nonsense that they're trying to push in there. You know, what was very upset was Mitch McConnell. Did you hear him from earlier?
The American people are watching this spectacle. I'm told the futures market is down 5%. I'm also told that that's when trading stops. So the notion that we have time to play games here with the American economy and the American people is utterly absurd. So I want to explain what just happened. Our good friends on the other side would not have been disadvantaged one bit if this vote had succeeded, because it would have required potentially 30 more hours of discussion, during which these seemingly endless negotiations could go on as long as they would like. Now, the buildup to this, so everybody fully understands, is that we had a high level of bipartisanship in five different working groups over the last 48 hours, where members who were participating were reaching agreement. And then all of a sudden, the Democratic leader and the Speaker of the House shows up. And we're back to square one. So we're fiddling here, fiddling with the emotions of the American people, fiddling with the markets, fiddling with our health care. The American people expect us to act tomorrow. And I want everybody to fully understand, if we aren't able to act tomorrow, it'll be because of our colleagues on the other side continuing to dicker when the country expects us to come together and address this problem. Now, I changed my vote, which gives me the opportunity to move to reconsider at a later time. That's all I can do in the face of this obstruction. Look, I can understand obstruction when you're trying to achieve something. This obstruction achieves nothing. Nothing whatsoever. Other than prevent us from getting into a position where there are literally 30 more hours that they could use to continue to dicker. So at a time when the country is crying out for bipartisanship and cooperation, and we saw that over the last 48 hours when regular members of the Senate, not in the leadership office, not in the Speaker's office, for goodness sake, she's the Speaker of the House, not the Speaker of the Senate. We don't have one. We were doing just fine until that intervention. So I want the American people to fully understand what's going on here. The markets are already reacting to this outrageous nonsense. We have an obligation to the American people to deal with this emergency and to deal with it tomorrow. And if we don't, I want everybody to fully understand, you've seen everybody who's on record. Now, I've conspicuously avoided trying to turn this into any kind of partisan effort for 2 days. But it's pretty clear what's going on here. And we'll have this cloture vote again at some point of my choosing. And hopefully, some adults will show up on the other side of the room and understand the gravity of the situation.
Ooh. Ooh.
And the need to act before the markets go down further and the American people become even more depressed about our lack of ability to come together under the most extraordinary circumstances. We've never been confronted with anything like this before. It's totally different. And we're not immune to it in terms of the public health risk. Coronavirus has hit the Senate today as well. We have five members in self-quarantine. So everybody understands the emergency, particularly when it hits close to home. It's not just back in our states, but right here in the Senate. So I would say to my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, step up.
Ooh, ooh.
Step up. Help us reach an agreement.
Step up.
So we can do what needs to be done for the American people no later than tomorrow.
I love it. And to Nancy Pelosi.
Stop it.
That's right. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Thanks for joining us here tonight for just a couple more minutes. And I'll be back again tomorrow, but we got something very special. As you probably have heard, KMOX is going to relive the 2011 Cardinals World Series Championship. Man, in 2011, that was 9 years ago? Ugh. Wow. It seems like yesterday, doesn't it? But if you wanted to relive that game by game, what a wild, wild ride. I'm sure you're going to enjoy that and some of the great classic names and some of the classic heroes for the Cardinals. So it starts later today, March 23rd. So that's Monday. And it goes through Game 7 of 2011 World Series. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. KMOX.com if you want a little bit more detail on that. I don't know if you saw this one. So the nation's election system is in the thicket of state and federal laws. The process of selecting presidential nominees could be delayed. Some people were wondering, how in the world would that happen? Wall Street Journal put out an article not that long ago about exactly how it would happen. So it's actually not that complicated. The president can't do it. Congress would need to step in and would make significant alterations to the general election date. The date was fixed as the first Tuesday after November 1st by an act of Congress in 1845. It cannot be changed, not by the president, not by elected officials. It would have to need new legislation in order to switch that over. That's where it's at right now. Isn't that interesting? I find that interesting myself. The coronavirus in St. Louis, cases have tripled in one day. You've seen this too if you've been following the trackers. Sometimes they're ahead of it, sometimes they're not, just like in Almond Joy. St. Louis County officials say COVID-19 cases tripled since Saturday. 38 new people tested positive, raising the total now in the county to 55. We saw some of the other cases in the county. You know, there's things that people get worked up on. And remember at the very onset of all of this, you remember what we saw? It was, I wonder if they broke quarantine. And I wonder if they're going to spread this to someone else. We've gone a long way since then. And it's only been a week. Only been a week. Now we're at 55 total. We don't really know much about the people there. They do say they range in age from like 10 to 70. So the county reported 7 new COVID-19 cases on Saturday, raising to 17 coronavirus patients. Page said the Woman who was announced dead on Friday was in her 60s, had prior medical complications. I think that's one of the important things, the prior medical complications. Metro buses and trains, they say they're going to run on schedules until further notice. Wow. KMOX.com. So, yeah, starting Monday, all Metro buses and Metrolink trains are running on scheduled regular schedules. Caller ride services won't be affected. That surprises me a little bit when you think about mass transit and the idea of trying to make it so you don't have 10 people at any one place. That seems to be the opposite of what mass transit offers, right? And the big thing over the weekend was the stay-at-home order now in going into effect in the city and county. So Mayor Lyda Crewson and County Executive Dr. Sam Page put the notice out on Saturday. It surprised some people because it was before President Trump's press conference, and he hasn't had a federal guidance of stay-at-home orders. He has said you should self-quarantine, separate yourself. You should, you know, keep between, you know, less than 10. He has had all these other federal guidelines. This one was kind of new. Normally, St. Louis was taking a step after the federal guidelines. This seems to be one of the ones where they go before. And it could be because of Illinois having such extreme cases over there that they're afraid of some spillover. Who knows? But they put out that press release, and it said, the new restrictions, which take place Monday, which is right now, will ensure that residents can meet their basic needs and that essential services will be provided. The new restrictions will require people to stay at home when possible. And that's the key, when possible, because Mayor Crewson followed that up with a tweet a little bit after, and said you can still go to the grocery store and you can still take a walk and you can still go to work and, you know, essential travel. You can still so they named all of these different things. So you can still go to the grocery store, still get your pharmacy, and you can still go order out. All of these things were exactly what you were able to do before, except maybe this is just a little heightened awareness, which isn't the worst thing in the world, I guess. But new restrictions now in place. In both jurisdictions. That's where we're at today. Who knows where the world's going to go between now and the next time we're on the air. And that's why you should keep it right here to KMOX and stay connected. And that's the thing with radio. When there's a press conference, boom, you can listen to it here. When there's breaking news, boom, you can find it out here. When they have some sort of deal on this giant $2-3 trillion package that they're trying to put together to help the economy and to help the people. Boom. You're going to hear it right here on KMOX. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll talk to you tomorrow after the Cardinals game. It's weird to say that, isn't it?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.